Hi, my name is Allison Mead, and welcome to What She Said, an episode of the LA FPI's podcast series. The Los Angeles Female Playwrights Initiative is dedicated to encouraging and promoting the work of female playwrights, and today I'm going to be speaking with Inda Craig Galvan, whose play I Go Somewhere Else is currently playing at the Atwater Village Theater. Inda holds an MFA in dramatic writing from USC, and her work has been developed and presented at the Eugene O'Neill National Playwrights Conference, Oregon Shakespeare Festival, Black Swan Lab, Kitchen Dog Theater, New Works Festival, Chalk Repertory Theater, Skylight Theater, San Francisco Playhouse, Playwrights Arena, New Pages Lab, MPACT, Trust Us Theater, Playwrights Festival, and Lorraine Hansberry Theater. Additional honors include the Kilroy's List, the Kennedy Center Rosa Parks Playwriting Award, Blue Ink Playwriting Award, Urban World Film Festival's Grand Jury Prize for Best Screenplay, Jane Chambers Student Award for Feminist Playwriting, Black and Latino Playwrights Conference winner, Women Works Playwriting winner, Humanitas Play LA, and Francis Grace Award in Playwriting as a runner-up. So welcome, Inda.
Thank you so much. That sounded way more impressive.
It sounded pretty great, right?
Yeah, it did.
Well, I should read that to myself every once in a while.
It never hurts. I Go Somewhere Else is a play that's told as a series of fractured memories, kind of moving around in time. So I wondered if you could talk a little bit about how that evolved as the best structure for the play as you were writing it.
Yeah. I wanted to tell a story about this girl who sort of over time realizes more and more who her mother is and how to cope with being a child of a mother who is not really ready or capable to be a mother. And the idea of working with memories and how we remember things was first and foremost what I wanted to do. And I was trying to, when I started writing it, I was writing out of order and realized that maybe the play just needs to be non-linear and just embrace that sort of storytelling. And then once we started doing read-throughs of it, I realized it's way too non-linear. It's jumping around too much. And what's the main event of the play? What's the thing that happens that sort of the turning point for the daughter and for the mother? And once I figured that out, I was able to finally start to throw away scene six, which was the girl at like 16 years old, because it wasn't really pointing to that one main event, which is something that happens during a trip for a wedding. And once the cast members weren't happy about that scene being taken out, because it was a lovely scene, but it really didn't serve to focus on that one event. So there's still, every time I see it, we were in previews this week, I'm hoping and praying people understand the non-linear logic of the play.
Did anyone try to get you to have it not be structured that way?
No, I think there was a request early on to make it focus more on the mother's journey, which was difficult for me because it's autobiographical and the mother is a harsh character. And I felt like I wasn't ready. When I first started writing it in my first year of graduate school at USC, I wasn't ready to explore that character any further.
I see.
Because I didn't think I could get any empathy for, find enough empathy for her to write her more fully. So it was more of an emphasis on the daughter's journey. But 3-4 years later, I felt like, okay, I think I can tackle this. And so just dwelling more on her character ended up making it a little bit more linear.
Okay.
Yeah. So there is one sort of linear storyline, and then there's the other stuff that just moves around in time.
Right. It does anchor it. And as you mentioned, motherhood is a really major theme of the play. And I know you're a mom, and a lot of the people who listen to this podcast and maybe out there trying to write plays are mothers themselves. So how does that theme really fit into the play?
Yeah, it's that was one of the, when I was trying to find the daughter's moments, the three ages of the daughter, one of them ends up being when the daughter has her own child, because she becomes a mother and she starts to see her mother differently, and she decides, it helps her, her own, being a mother helps her figure out how to relate to her mother and how she wants to be for the rest of her life, like who she wants to be. So, yeah, it absolutely is, it's the theme of the play, really. That and I guess sort of a residual memories or residual self-image, who we thought we'd be and who we end up being.
It seems almost like the pasting together of these pieces into an identity. That is also evolving. So Lani, the daughter, I think that's how you pronounce her character.
Yes.
Lani, yes?
Okay. Yes.
And she's an eventual mother herself, as you mentioned. And now you've also suggested, I think, that she's autobiographical. I was about to say she's such an interesting and multidimensional character, which I really felt when I was reading the play. And her, one of her role models, seems like, is Carrie from the movie of the same name. which was hilarious. And she seemed to either have telekinetic powers or wishes she had them. So what was interesting about this particular part of her when you were writing her?
I remember personally watching that movie and seeing similarities. I did not have telekinetic powers, of course, but thinking and wishing I did, because I could change things. And when she's stuck with this character, stuck with this abusive parent, she's unable to change anything. There's a point in the play where she's like, what if I ran away? Or what if I told somebody? Who would believe you? She's stuck in this situation and she can't figure out any way to change it. So she prays for abilities, special powers, because she thinks that's the only way to get out of it. And learning how to just get through the day, get through the next day, get through these years and move on into adulthood and hope that she'll understand things eventually. And even if she doesn't understand entirely, I think the character gets to a point in the 50-year-old version of herself where she at least is okay with all of it.
Yeah. There's also a Scott Baio reference that I feel like I have to call out. Very, very, also very funny. Because it is a play that really moves in through, as you brought up, there's some abuse here, there's a difficult relationship with the mother, there's someone who's over time trying to put together her relationship with that, and then herself as her life goes forward. So it is extremely funny, but it's also meaningful. So what does he bring to the narrative as it unfolds?
I was trying to think of, like, someone that, like, the younger Lani, you know, she's got the posters up for, you know, Right On magazine and Tiger Beat magazine and her idol, and how what the person that you think is just amazing, you make up this whole narrative about how you're going to marry Rick Springfield or you're going to marry Todd Bridges when you grow up. And then when you grow up and they grow up and then you realize that what you saw in the photographs or on TV isn't, it's just a portion of who they are. And it may not even be an honest just depiction of who they are.
Yeah.
And once we get to 2018, we see who Scott Baio is.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do indeed.
Realize how much time we spent daydreaming about Chachi, and well.
Well, finally, I always like to ask people what they're either working on next or what we can expect from you going forward. Anything you can talk about?
Yeah, I have a play opening in March of 2019, which seems far away, but it's not, at the Geffen Playhouse in Los Angeles, called Black Superhero Magic Mama. And that's directed by Robert O'Hara, and I'm super excited. We start at workshops in September.
Nice.
So that's kind of a big deal. I'm excited. That's the play that went to the O'Neill conference. And then I also have been working for the past year on a play through the Humanitas Play LA workshop. They every year select five playwrights, and you spend a year workshopping plays. So Playwrights Arena is actually the theater that I got partnered with through the Humanitas Play LA program. So we're doing a reading in September of that new play, which is brand new, which is called A Hit Dog Will Holler. So that's coming up in beginning of September. And then I'm writing on a TV show. So my brain is in four different stories at once.
Wow, fantastic. So what show do you write for?
The Rookie on ABC.
The Rookie. Fantastic. Well, we will be looking forward to all that, and thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today, break a leg with everything. Well, I Go Somewhere Else plays at the Atwater Village Theater through September 17th. It's directed by John Lawrence Rivera and features Kevin Cabal, Keita Grayson, Donna Simone Johnson, Inger Tudor, and Sherry Lynn Vandenhoevel. For more information about tickets, go to somewhere.brownpapertickets.com. And for more information about LAFPI's resources, activities, and opportunities, please visit lafpi.com.